Today's podcast is brought to you by Howie's new book, Paperboy. To order today, go to HowieCarshow.com and click on store.
Live from the Aviva Trattoria studio, it's the Grace Curley Show.
We got to bring in a new voice, a young voice, a rising voice, Grace Curley.
You can read Grace's work in the Boston Herald and the Spectator.
Especially Grace. Grace, stand up.
Here's the millennial with the mic, Grace Curley.
We are back here on the Grace Curley Show, holding down the fort while Grace is on spring break. I am Aaron Chadbourne. Thank you so much for being with us today. We love having you with us. If you'd like to join the conversation, 844-500-4242 is the number at the Grace Curley Show, or you can text in on the text line, text Curley to 617-213-1066 if you want to join the conversation. There's a split screen going on Fox News right now. You can see both Biden and Trump on their way to New York. Biden just touched down. Trump forced one on its way. But they're there for very different reasons. Biden is there for a fundraiser that he's holding with former presidents Obama and Clinton. He couldn't, I guess, he wasn't a big enough draw, so he's calling in backup with Bill Clinton and Barack Obama having his back for fundraising, I guess. And then Donald Trump on his way to attend the wake of the fallen police officer who was shot in the line of duty earlier this week after a traffic stop gone awry. So I think that shows you. It goes back to what I was saying the other day. During the bridge collapse, Biden came, made his remarks on TV, and then flew to go campaign in North Carolina. Same thing today. There's a fallen officer in New York City. Donald Trump goes to the funeral while Joe Biden is campaigning and raising cash. Kind of shows you what their priorities are. 844-500-4242, the number here at the Grace Curley Show. Let's go to the phone lines and talk to Lisa. Lisa, welcome to the Grace Curley Show.
Hey, Aaron. I just wanted to, real quick talk about the morning show on MSNBC. It's so ridiculous that Joe Brzezinski, with his 5-inch hair and his 5-inch glasses and his 5 brain cells, talks about how he and Meeker are so much more superior than the people at Fox News. I mean, can you possibly imagine what he's saying? He's saying we're allowed to complain to our management and get what we want, but Fox is not. So what does that say about Fox and MSNBC and management?
What do you think
so
it says?
He is ridiculous as usual, and I don't know what irritates me more on TV than him. I don't know why. I think it's because he's a former Republican, but he
don't say that to him. Don't say that to him. He hates it when people come up to him at the airport and say that, Lisa.
Oh my God! If I saw him in the airport, I probably would just walk away because I know I'd be arrested. But no, he is ridiculous. He is awful. And he's hateful. And yes, Trump's not perfect. We all know that. He's, you know, can be sociopathic and narcissistic like the rest of the presidents in the world in the history of America. But Joe Scarborough is just so angry. And so, and Nicole Wallace, same thing. And Michael Steele, he's nothing to me. But Nicole Wallace and Joe Scarborough really chafe my you know what. And I don't know why, but it's disgusting. They are disgusting to me. I'm sorry.
Thanks for the call, Lisa.
What?
Okay. And I should apologize once again because I am subjecting people to hearing Joe Scarborough on the airlines. You might go out of your way like Lisa does to avoid him. And kind of like, was it the mayor of Baltimore? He went on CNN and said, please stop playing the bridge collapse because it's too traumatic. I think that must be what I'm doing here by playing Joe Scarborough. We're causing trauma unintentionally.
Desecration.
Speaking of the mayor of Baltimore, we've been kind of paying attention to him and, you know, his city obviously undergoing a tragedy this week with the bridge collapse after the cargo ship slammed into the Francis Scott Key Bridge right near the port of Baltimore. But one thing that was interesting, he's lashing out at people who are talking about DEI and saying that people are a DEI hire. Let's go ahead and hear a little bit more of what he had to say. On, I think he was on MSNBC. Let's play cut 6.
Well, I think, listen, I know, and we all know, and you know very well, that black men and young black men in particular have been the boogeyman for those who are racist and think that only straight, wealthy white men should have a say in anything. We've been the boogeyman from them since the first day they brought us to this country. And what they mean by DEI, in my opinion, is duly elected incumbent. We know what they want to say, but they don't have the courage to say the N-word. And the fact that I don't believe in their untruthful and wrong ideology, and I am very proud of my heritage and who I am and where I come from, scares them, because me being at my position means that their way of thinking, their way of life, of being comfortable and suffering, and while everyone else suffers, is going to be at risk, and they should be afraid, because that's my purpose in life.
They say DEI because they don't have the courage. Is he saying that DEI is like saying the N-word? Was that what he said, Jared?
That was the, I believe that was the conclusion he made.
I think, though, the thing about DEI is it's become an orthodoxy. It's become a religion. It's become another way of undermining. Like, look, I think that having elected officials who are representative over their community, like, that's great. Like, you should have people that represent the views and the culture and look like their community. Like, cool. And I think in Baltimore, I don't think anyone's saying the reason you have a black mayor, I think he was duly elected. I don't think, is there anyone that was saying that? I think to it, like, that's the thing. If you're attacking DEI, you're saying the N word. Like, no, that's ridiculous. I mean, I think, I just don't even know how to respond to that, because that's where there's this disingenuousness about, like, first of all, I think most elected politicians are equally incompetent. Like, I don't think there's like a intelligence test to be mayor. And I'm not saying that people elected from different backgrounds are less intelligent than others. I think most people who choose to run for office and make a career out of it, they are themselves usually lacking in other talents, and they make up for it. And I don't think the electorate does a great job filtering for that. Right? People elect a lot. Look at George Santos. And this is not an attack on him because he's Latino or he's gay or whatever he is. It's an attack on him because he's a fraudulent actor who was indicted. He's not a criminal yet, but he's going to be convicted, right? Like, we know, because he did a lot of shady stuff. And no one dug into his background, though, because he used all of these different things, whether he was talking about being a victim of the September 11th terror attacks and his family dying there, which was false, whether he was talking about being Jewish. Like, I mean, people didn't dig in. They didn't look at the American electorate. You fail us when you elect unqualified people. And it has nothing to do with their background. It has nothing to do with their race, their sexual orientation, or any of it. Like, most of them are actually, and because why would someone in their right mind who has skills, who's marketable, who could do other things, subject themselves to being a politician? I mean, that's really what's at the heart of all of this. And so I don't think that we reserve criticism for people of one background or another. But to claim that any criticism of DEI orthodoxy is always going to be racially motivated and like saying the, like, no, we should be able to, you have to be able to debate policy choices. You have to be able to debate what that means and what good is and what bad is. I mean, that was the issue with this whole DEI, like, trend that emerged in the wake of the George Floyd protests. The George Floyd protest really unlocked something that was deep in the conscience of people who felt that the system was rigged against them because of their race, because of their upbringing, because of their community. They felt like there was systemic racism, and they wanted to speak out about it or act out about it. And there were various ways of doing that. Some did it in a violent way. Some did it in a peaceful way. There's a menu of ways to respond. The violent ones with destruction and looting are not okay. The let's have debate about it. That's what we should do. Let's debate it. Let's look at the facts. Let's look at policy choices. Let's make changes. But no, like, the violence, all of that, not okay. Secondly, you had this big reaction from companies that wanted to show that they were on the right side of history. Maybe they had an employee base or a perceived reason, or they had some sort of, you know, they're worried about, they've been trained and coached to think about their privilege and how they needed to respond. And so all of these, like, quote unquote DEI policies were put in place, or companies hired a DEI officer or a DEI person in HR. But here's the thing. you can't just hire one person or set up a committee or have an officer and make a problem go away. If there is a real problem, you have to actually change the culture of your institution. If you are part of a company that treats people differently based on their race, based on their gender, based on their sexuality, if you're a company that does that, it's not just going to be hiring a person that's going to take care of that problem. You actually need your whole culture to change so that people are treated equally, are given opportunity based on their talent, based on their contribution, based on, I mean, that's what we should be focusing on, is how do we create better culture that actually rewards people based on what they contribute. We want to care about merit. We want to care about opportunity. We want to reward hard work. And that's not what was happening. So you're seeing a lot of that undone, and you're seeing a lot of people who have been hardworking Americans that played by the rules that all of a sudden see this new almost kind of religious dogma that's put in place that usurps hard work and meritocracy. And there's this other reward system that's superimposed and that's rigged for a specific reason. That's where the tension is. That's where this comes from. And so to accuse it of being something else, I think, is a disservice, first of all, to the people that are taking this seriously, but more importantly, to the voters and to the American public. This is like what we were saying before about, you know, the defenders of democracy that always say that the only way to defend democracy and protect democracy is by taking away people's ability to vote for what they want. That's why you've got to take Trump off the ballot and ban him and imprison him and remove him. You can only defend democracy by giving people less choices, fewer choices. That's what people are saying here. The only way we can save it, the only way we can protect it, is by branding people and not letting them debate, not letting them label all people racist if they even bring up the conversation about what's fair and how to implement it, or where we have these problems. And these problems have been demonstrated in the airlines. We're seeing it play out in real time. And so I just think it's just disingenuous for the mayor to do that. But again, he's young. He's young, he's learning, he represents his community, he represents some point of view. But I think there are many ways that democracy fails us. We get terrible people that choose to run for office. They're not up for the jobs. You can see that clearly in the current president of the United States. I'm Aaron Chadbourne, filling in for Grace Curley. We'll be right back after this quick break.
You're listening to The Grace Curley Show. This is The Grace Curley Show.
See, sometimes, Jared, I just like the music. I don't like stepping in. It just gives you that peppy, like, upbeat. I need it on a rainy day. A little bit of pizzazz. You're listening to The Grace Curley Show. I'm your host, Aaron Chadbourne, filling in for Grace while she is off on spring break. Hopefully somewhere with better weather than we have here in Maine. Is it rainy and crummy in Boston today?
Yeah, it's just kind of dark and spitting rain, like, consistently.
They're talking about a potential nor'easter next week, too. Like, that's not what we need. And I know you guys got spared by the storm that we had up here in Maine. They're still restoring power to some homes that had this terrible ice storm. But I just, I'm ready to skip past spring and go straight to summer. And I think it's just going to be a long several weeks that we're doing it. It's also a long time waiting to figure out who Donald Trump is going to pick as his vice presidential running mate. RFK Jr. named his. We know that we have the vice president straight out of central casting for Veep in Kamala Harris. But who's Trump going to pick? That is the topic of today's poll question. Today's poll question brought to you by J.J. Manning Auctioneers. Whether residential, commercial, or land, J.J. Manning can get your property sold now. To learn more, contact Charlie Gill at 800-521-0111 or jjmanning.com. With over 16,000 sales and satisfied clients, you can be the next one. All right, Jared Diglio, what is today's poll question and what are the responses thus far?
Today's poll question, which you can vote in at gracecurlyshow.com, is who do you think Trump is going to pick for VP? Tulsi Gabbard, Kristi Noem, Mike Pence, Vivek Ramaswamy, Marco Rubio, Tim Scott, Elise Stefanik, or other?
Okay, so here's how I get to this answer. I do it by process of elimination. I think that Trump's not going to pick someone because Trump likes the attention, right? He doesn't want anyone that's going to outshine him or upstage him. And so I think Vivek, I'm sorry, I think that takes you out of the running right there. And probably Kristi Noem too, because like she's actually good on her own. And like maybe Tulsi Gabbard, I think she's just kind of bellwether. But I think if you take any lessons from Mike Pence, which I mean, it is Trump. He could surprise us and pick Pence, but I think he wants someone kind of forgettable, kind of like a good supporting role. I think that takes out Rubio too. I never took that seriously. And that lands me on someone like Tulsi Gabbard, but I think she's too much of a star. So I land on, Elise Stefanik would be good. But I go with Tim Scott.
Tim Scott is tied with other at 23% right now for the lead. 17% say Tulsi Gabbard, 14% for Kristi Noem, 8% each for Vivek and Rubio, 5% for Elise Stefanik, and 3% for Mike Pence.
You know what we should have put on the list, Jared, is Aaron Rodgers. I was disappointed.
He's available.
I was disappointed that RFK Jr. floated him. He was just toying with us. And then he went with this woman that no one's ever heard of. Who I don't think is really going to impact anything at all whatsoever. But Aaron Rodgers, and that was my first reaction. I think I said it to you and Taylor. I said, oh, that means he's still available for Trump to pick. So he could surprise us. But again, this is where I think that Donald Trump doesn't want someone with like a big persona that's going to take away from him. I do think he's going to pick someone. So I don't think he's going to pick someone that's a celebrity in their own right. Someone with some Twitter followers or X followers, Truth followers. But not as many as Donald Trump. I think it's going to be a smaller. And so I think Aaron Rodgers is probably not a candidate. Ben Carson, I had thought about for a while, but I don't think Ben Carson would do it. So I think Tim Scott's still a likely pick for him. And you can see that Trump, when he's with Tim Scott, he likes kind of, you know, reminding Tim Scott that he's subordinate to Trump. And Scott goes along with it. He's just happy to be invited, right? Like, don't you get that sense that like Tim Scott is just happy to be anywhere?
Yeah, the only thing about Tim Scott is I can only imagine the vitriol that would come from being Trump's VP from the MSNBCs, the CNNs, and the leftists of the world. I mean, that would be
like the same vitriol
atrocious.
That they reserve for Clarence Thomas. Is that
yes.
What I mean? Yeah. Yeah. No, I think you're right. I think that is, they'd see it as like the biggest, they'd see it as some sort of, like he'd be like branded a traitor. It would be seen as defiant. Like they would hate it. I think maybe that's a reason to do it. Again, I said before, I did like the idea, maybe earlier this week I said, I like the idea of Tulsi Gabbard for the very reason that it would really bother Kamala Harris. I like the idea of Tim Scott for the same reason with all the other Democrats. It'll make their heads explode. And I think they have it coming. So I don't know. I'd like to see him pick. Don't you think you should pick it sooner rather than later? I mean, maybe he's waiting to see because there's a long time. When's convention? Is convention in the summer? I guess that's really when you have to announce it. So maybe
it's in July.
Know. In July. That's a long way. So I think it's going to be a while. Maybe he wants to see how some of these trials play out, whether there's a higher likelihood the vice president becomes president. I don't know. We'll see. We'll see what he does. All right. We'll talk more about that. But when we come back, it's going to be Woke or Joke, brought to you by Aviva Trattoria. So get ready. Get your dialing fingers ready, 844-500-4242 if you want to participate. Woke or Joke when you come back on the Grace Curley Show. My first time hosting Woke or Joke. I'm looking forward to it. I'm Aaron Chadbourne in for Grace Curley this rainy spring break where she is off. Woke or Joke, sponsored by Aviva Trattoria, when we come back.
Live from the Aviva Trattoria Studio.
Welcome back, everyone. I'm Aaron Chadbourne in for Grace Curley. It is time to line up on the phone lines at 844-500-4242. Taylor Cormier has, as the kids say, entered the group chat, meaning he's in studio, which means it must be time for Woke or Joke.
Everything woke turns to shit, okay?
I started a joke.
Ha, 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 ha. Pink-haired wokers. The word woke means loser.
But the joke was on me.
All right. So Woke or Joke is brought to you by Aviva Trattoria. A gift card to Aviva Trattoria is the perfect gift for any occasion. Pick one up at any of their locations. To find the one nearest you, go to avivatrattoria.com. Again, if you want to participate in Woke or Joke, go ahead and call in now, 844-500-4242. Phone lines are starting to light up. Let's go first to Ed. Ed, welcome to the Grace Curley Show. Are you ready for your headline, Ed?
You're doing a great job, Aaron, and yes, I'm ready.
All right, appreciate it. Go ahead, Taylor.
All right, Ed, here is your headline. I need your urine. Unusual experiment tests whether human pee can help save forests.
Woke?
It is woke.
Yes.
Not a joke. Not a joke.
This is based on a study that was done on a tiny wood mouse in Spain. The shrubs and pine trees of the Sierra Nevada give off several intriguing smells and a pungent odor as though they just emerged from an ammonia bath. They discovered it's urine from a lot of the forest animals. So they are seeing if human urine can help contribute to the growth of the forests in that region.
I had a feeling that one was going to be true. I always hope, Taylor, when I hear you read these, I'm sitting at home and I'm not hosting the show. I always am rooting for them to be a joke. And then you have these ones that are true. Like, they just can't help themselves.
And there are many that are once jokes that do become true eventually. And that happens all the time here on Woke or Joke. Something that we wrote months ago finally comes true. We are prognosticators.
Do you then have to reach back out to the participants and let them know? Like you were just ahead of your time.
Sorry, your prize has been invalidated. Please return your Aviva Trattoria gift card ASAP.
844-500-4242. Let's go next to Tony. Tony, you ready for your headline, Tony?
I'm ready.
All right, Tony, here is your headline. Francis Scott Key's diary hints at his would-be stance on Palestine, and it's not good.
I'm going to go with joke.
That is a joke, yes.
By the way, that was a joke. That's not true.
I've seen it mentioned online, though. Do you think when they rebuild the bridge, which Joe Biden says we're all going to pay for, do you think they're still going to name it after Francis Scott Key?
I think they will keep it. The Francis Scott Key Bridge. I guess it's an historic bridge. The bridge is right next to Fort McHenry, which is the fort that the British fired upon, what was it, in 1813 or so? And that's how he came to write the Star Spangled Banner.
I know, but we've been canceling our history, Taylor. You're more of an optimist than I am. I think they're gonna change it. 844-500-4242 if you want to participate in Woke or Joke. Still some spots open. We'll go next to Joe. Joe, you ready for your Woke or Joke headline?
Sure, go ahead.
All right, Joe, here is your headline. Baltimore rapper debuts new song, Racist Bridge Be Fallen Down.
Woke.
I'm sorry. We got you there. It is a joke.
Thank God.
By the way, that was a joke. That's not true.
But you wait in a couple of weeks. Somebody will have that single.
We haven't heard any of the tracks off of Beyonce's country album. So it could be timely.
Is it a whole album she's done country style?
I think so. And I think she has collabs with Dolly Parton, Willie Nelson. Like, this is the week for that, too.
Interesting. Yeah, I've heard that one song, the Texas Hold'em song.
I think it's called Country Carter is the name of the album. So.
Oh, is that her kid's name or something?
Well, that's
Jay-Z's last name is Carter. Carter. So I think it's Beyonce.
Oh, it is?
Carter.
Yeah. Yeah. Is he related to Aaron Carter?
We'll have to have Emma back on to clear this up for us. 844-500-4242. I mean, Emma did a good job laying out this whole P. Diddy scandal, which I still am not able to follow. All I know is it's nothing good. All right. Your turn on Woke or Joke. Let's go to the phone lines and get Bob. Bob, are you ready for Woke or Joke?
I was born ready.
All right, Bob, here is your headline. U.S. Intel Agency wants to ban terms radical Islamists and jihadists because they're hurtful to Muslim Americans.
That is woke.
It is woke. That was an easy one.
Not a joke. Not a joke.
There are actually many more terms on this list, some of which we've heard before as being potentially harmful to somebody's mental well-being. Jihadist and radical Islamists, of course, that goes back to the Obama administration. He refused to say radical Islam or radical Muslim. And the top intel agency is saying that these words are hurtful to Muslim Americans and detrimentally impact our efforts as they bolster extremist rhetoric, to which I say then Joe Biden needs to stop saying MAGA extremists. But they also want to ban terms like blacklisted, cakewalk, brown bag, grandfathered, and sanity check. Cakewalk, I have not heard before as part of the
I'm curious
as part of these blacklisted terms.
Brown bag, like what?
Yeah, brown bag is another one, but cakewalk, to go over that one first. Well, actually, we'll do a brown bag. Brown bag, a term most often used to describe a paper bag that holds one's lunch, like, oh, you're brown bagging it today, Jim. Oh, you bet your wife's out of town. Ham and cheese sandwich. Actually refers to the brown bag test practices in the 20th century with the African-American community, according to ODNI, which outlined these terms in an internal magazine produced by the agency's Office of Diversity, Equity, Inclusion, and Accessibility. Cakewalk is said to refer to a dance performed by slaves for slave owners on plantation grounds.
Is that true?
Well, our intelligence agency says it is true, and we know that they're completely infallible. They've never signed off on anything before that wasn't true.
I'm glad they've got their priorities straight. All right, we've got time for another one. If anyone wants to call in, 844-500-4242. The thing is, Taylor, though, like this whole banning of things, or even, you know, you heard the Baltimore mayor, he didn't want them to play the clip of the bridge. Like, are we that fragile as a people?
I guess so. I don't know. People are just looking out for other people's sensibilities, I suppose. But I don't see the problem with replaying that footage. I mean, it was a news item. You've got the footage. It gets eyeballs. We all know if it bleeds, it leads. But it's something that happened. You can't undo it. You can't reverse time. So I don't see the issue with it. It's like seeing the, you know, on the anniversary of 9/11, seeing the towers come down. It's very painful to see, but it's definitely a reminder of where we are at this country, how far we've progressed or regressed, and how many more things we still have to work on. So maybe that'll keep things top of mind as far as infrastructure integrity for the Biden administration.
All right, so I've done some producer-style digging on cakewalk on the well-sourced Wikipedia. And according to Wikipedia, the cakewalk was a dance developed from the prize walk held in the mid-19th century, generally at get-togethers or slave plantations before and after emancipation in the southern United States. So I guess there was an exhibition at the 1876 Centennial Exposition in Philadelphia, and it was later adopted by performers in minstrel shows.
Was cake ever involved?
The dance contestants were awarded the cake as a prize if they. So I guess that's.
I've danced for cake.
That does not surprise me. I don't think that surprises anyone listening here. All right, we're almost out of time for this segment. I'm going to take host prerogative. Give me one more. I want to take my hand at Woker Joe. Go ahead, Taylor.
All right, Aaron, here is your headline. Hold on, let me try this again.
Oh, gosh.
Transosaurus Rex, museum goes fact-free and LGBT.
Ugh. I'm going to say woke.
It is woke, but
not a joke. Not a joke.
This one comes with an asterisk. This was one of the first Woker Joke headlines when the segment first began. I think I did something like Trantisaurus Rex or something stupid like that. But yes, this is the Hastings Museum Queer History and Trail Map that they have. It's like a brochure they've printed out. And they've outlined a few things. First, pheasants. They claim that female pheasants change their sex when they stop laying eggs to turn their brown feathers into the brightly colored feathering typical of males. However, that is not true. Basically, female pheasants go through basically menopause, and their hair changes, their feathers change color. And the Transosaurus rex, for some reason, they included in this pamphlet that dinosaur footprints, a certain set of dinosaur footprints in a certain region, were discovered by an 11-year-old boy who later grew up to be gay. So they felt that was necessary to include in their brochure of scientific and historic facts.
I don't like the world now.
And here I thought we should focus on teaching science and history, but who am I?
Social a science justice. Denier. That's what you
are. This is a house of learned doctors.
Well, this has been Woker Joke, brought to you by Aviva Trattoria. I think our audience did pretty well this week. You didn't get very many by them.
No, they? I didn't. I didn't. Just one, I think.
They're wising up to you. Thanks to everyone for playing. When we come back, it's going to be Grace's goodies. She's not here, but we still got the goods. So stay right here with us on The Grace Curley Show. I'm Aaron Chadbourne, in for Grace.
Follow Grace on Twitter at @G_Curley. This is The Grace Curley Show.
So you're looking for a deal and you want to make it real.
A money-saving deal.
It's Grace's Goodies.
Goody, goody.
Grace is off today. I'm Aaron Chadbourne, in for Grace, but have no fear. Grace's Goodies must go on. Today, we have a special offer. While supplies last, you can get a gift certificate to Nauset Beach Inn valued at $200 for just $100. Now, let's limit 3 certificates per customer, non-refundable, good for any night. You go to gracecurlyshow.com, click on store. And joining us now to talk about the Nauset Beach Inn is Dave Henschy. Dave, welcome back to Grace Curley Show.
Hey, Aaron. Good afternoon. How are you doing today?
I'm doing so well. This is a great deal. It's kind of a 2-for-1. Makes your dollars go further, Dave. How are things going this spring at the Nauset Beach Inn?
Well, it's actually been very busy. The month of March was completely full, which is fantastic. And April is all booked out. All the weekends are gone, going into May, of course, already. But there's still some rooms available, not much in school vacation week. But in May, there's a few rooms, and going into June, more rooms are open until, we get about a month before and all the rooms sell out. The rooms in May start at $269 a night, and they start at $349 a night in June. And it's really, the grass is green, the window boxes, all the tulips and whatnot are coming up. The surf is breaking nicely out there today. There's a couple of surfers down the beach we can see from here. And it's just, even though it's kind of a cloudy day, it's kind of a nice outlook today.
No, I mean, that's the thing too, Dave. I tell people that spring is my least favorite time of year, which it is, and I'm up here in Maine, but it's a great time to go enjoy the ocean. You guys are steps away from the beach, and every room has a view of the sea, which I think people will enjoy.
Yeah, a spectacular view of the Atlantic Ocean. It's truly one of a kind. We got 270 degrees of ocean view here. It's wonderful to sit outside at night by the fire pit and watch the space station come over. It's really a special and wonderful experience. The spring is also great here for hiking and walking around. It's just great. You can get out on the bike path too, starting May 1st, on the trail bike rentals over in Brewster is open, and we have a deal with them this year. If you're staying at the Nauset Beach, and you'll be able to get a couple of rental bikes for free, actually. And go ahead and enjoy the Cape Cod Rail Trail, too, as part of your experience here at the Nauset Beach Inn.
No, I think it's a great way to stay active. And the other thing I love that we talk about it on the show, but the Nauset Beach Inn is also a pet-friendly place to stay, which I think matters a lot, because a lot of times people don't go on vacation because they're worried about who's going to take care of their pets while they travel.
Yeah, that's very true. And, it's really nice because this is a pet-friendly area. One thing, though, Nauset Beach itself, as of April 1st, they start protecting the piping plovers. So there's lots of other places to walk the dogs on the beach around, but Nauset Beach itself, you can't just take your dog down the beach like you can in the winter here. And that's just the, I think it's a federal law. So they keep the dogs off the beach. So while the birds are nesting, of course.
Yeah, I'm sure it's part of the Endangered Species Act. And one of the things I do appreciate, and I love having you on here with Grace or listening to you with Howie, because sometimes when you go to an establishment, if you're, a conservative, if you tend to vote a certain way, you get nervous about which establishments you're supporting. And I think, people can feel comfortable when they go to Nauset Beach Inn that they know where their money's being spent. And that's not always the case in Cape Cod. So, Dave, really appreciate that. It's a welcoming place for people all over the ideological spectrum.
Yeah, we welcome everybody in the, you know, the fire pits at night are quite social. People tend to bring their igloo coolers out there and meet all sorts of different people from, frankly, all around the country, and actually some European visitors, too, come in the summer. It's really, it's kind of a melting pot, and it's a lot of fun. And, you know, it's like an old-style vacation used to be when we were younger, where you go to kind of a cottage colony. We got 4 acres up here. We've only got 12 rooms in a cottage. There's lots of room to spread out, throw the Frisbee around, fly a kite. The kids kick the ball around, you know, play some beanbag or whatever. It's just, it's nice. And you can barbecue out here, save a fortune for the family. Instead of going out to dinner, it just, you couldn't find a better view to have a place to have a meal and a good time with your family than Nassau Beach Inn.
Well, that's the thing. It's to have that, you know, that really the quality time that everyone wants to get back, and it's quality time around the fire, by the beach, on the bikes, like you mentioned. It's a great, and that's where you really create memories. And those are the types of vacations that you tend to remember into adulthood if you're a kid. And so it's really a great way to go. And the deal right now, which, as we said, Grace's Goodies, while supplies last, you can get a gift certificate to Nassau Beach Inn. You pay $100, but the gift certificate is for $200. So you're really getting a 2-for-1 kind of approach. Now, limit 3 per customer. But I think it's a great deal, Dave.
It really is. And, you know, it's, if you buy it correctly, of course, you get a really quite a bargain on a room. And the certificates are good for any time of year. You can even use them in the height of summer where, unfortunately, you know, we have market prices in the summer. They're not, you know, crazy market prices, but they're equal with everybody else down here. And it's really something to see. It's something to enjoy. And if you come once, you always come back. It truly is a short drive to a vacation far away down here.
Dave Henchy from the Nassau Beach Inn, thanks so much for joining us. Really appreciating having you with us.
All right. Thank you very much. And you enjoy your day. I'm loving the show, by the way. Thank you.
I appreciate it. Grace leaves big shoes to fill. But if you want to take advantage of Grace's Goodies, go to gracecurlyshow.com, click on store, and you can find the gift certificate to Nassau Beach Inn. Again, for $100, you get a gift certificate valued at $200. Limit 3 per person. When we come back, we'll take more of your calls, get back into the today's top stories, 844-500-4242. You are listening to The Grace Curley Show. We've got Grace's Goodies. We've got Woker Joke. We're keeping you entertained while Grace is on spring break. I'm Aaron Chadbourne in for Grace Curley, and we'll be right back after this.